Thank you, brother. Let's open our Bibles again, please, at John chapter 16, and we come to the last three verses in the chapter, John 16, verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Let's stand together, please, and we'll ask the Lord to write these words on our hearts and help us to grasp them in our ministry today. Father, we thank Thee for these wonderful, wonderful words, that Jesus has overcome the world. We take great peace today in the knowledge that the devil is not in control, nor will have the last say. We thank Thee that Thou art creator of this world, and Thou art the redeemer of this world, and Thou art the savior of sinners. We take great delight today in this communion, that we might take these symbols and remember what Jesus has accomplished for us and all that we are in Him. O Lord, help today. Help in the preaching. Give ear to Thy word, O Lord, and we pray that You will work Your will in us through these means of grace, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. We trust that today the Lord will minister to your heart as we speak about communion. Now that is when God's people, born-again Christians who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, they take the symbols of the bread and the cup to declare their faith in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must preach the cross. Indeed, we must always preach the cross, but never more definitely than at a communion service. It is very sad that the communion service should become a tag-on or something that people just do perfunctorily. It is the heart of the gospel, and what Christ accomplished at the cross we rejoice in, and we send that message out. Today, I hope that you will visit Calvary with me, not just in a physical way, but in heart, that we will take to heart what the Lord accomplished on the cross. Now, I have therefore a great text. Jesus said, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." And of course, He did so at the cross. So stay tuned with us, join with us right through the program as we get to the heart of the gospel, as we preach the victory of our Lord Jesus by not only His life, but by His death on that cruel cross at Calvary. Here now is our opening hymn, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?"
Stand up.
These are the closing verses and words of our Lord Jesus to his disciples on that night of his arrest. We've been looking at chapter 13, 14, 15, now 16, and we're coming to the close of this evening discourse, and the Lord is very soon to be arrested. You'll notice chapter 17 is all about the prayer that Jesus made to his Father. Chapter 18, he goes into the garden where he is arrested. And so these are indeed the final words of the Lord Jesus to his own disciples before he is arrested and they are scattered. And he tells them, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What a great text for our communion service here this morning. And we must settle our hearts to take communion in a right manner. We must be focused upon our relationship with our own Savior. If you cannot say that Jesus is mine and I am his blood was shed for me and I am washed in his blood, then really you have no part in this communion service. And we must get to the cross today to remember the sacrifice, the sufferings of our Savior who died in our place. But we must also remember that Jesus died on that cross as a victor, not in defeat. He conquered for us while he led down his death upon that cross. Now, I know that to the world that's an oxymoron, that's an opposite, but for the Christian who rejoices in Jesus' death, we rejoice that by his life led down at the cross, we are delivered from death and have eternal life with God. That is the gospel. Now, at the beginning of this discourse, away over chapter 14, 1, the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And here again, he is saying to his disciples that my peace I give unto you. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but in me, in my fellowship, in union, fellowship, and in worship of me, you will have peace. Even while the world is working against you and seeking to pull you down and to hinder your Christian living, in me you will have wonderful peace. Fear not, because I have overcome the world." And isn't it wonderful to notice how the Lord is always laying a foundation for his disciples to have peace? He is giving them solid grounds on which to rest. And this is also the reason for the communion supper. The Lord is calling us to rest in his work. We are not the workers. Jesus is the worker. And he has done it all for us upon the cross. And he cried out, "It is finished." And here he says that he has overcome. We take great delight in resting in that. And so the Lord commands us to be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Now, we need to look a little more specifically on how exactly the Lord overcame the world. Firstly, by taking on the world in his life. Jesus' life was a daily miracle of purity because he was sinless. No other has walked through the curses and the cancers and the diseases and the blasphemies of this world untainted. Every one of us has fallen into sin, but Jesus knew no sin. Because he was supernaturally conceived in Mary's womb, he was God in the flesh and lived a supernatural life.
Every day he was an overcomer. Even when the devil, after his baptism, came to tempt him in the wilderness, and three separate attacks against our Lord Jesus, Satan sought to pull him down. He pointed to the stones and he said, after 40 days of fasting, he said to Jesus, "Turn these stones into bread and enjoy the bread." But Jesus would not abuse his power. He was to obey his Father only and not succumb to the prey of the devil. And so there in that wilderness, Jesus conquered Satan by his mighty power. And all the miracles of Jesus demonstrated that he was conquering the world. And many came to him with those who were possessed by demons, and Jesus cast them out. You remember how the devils went into the herd of swine and they rushed down to the sea and the devils were cast out. Or the demoniac of Gadara, the man who no one could tame. He was a monster who no one could tame at all. He was chained day and night, and Jesus set him free. And whether it was to calm the wind or the waves, or healing the multitudes of their sick and diseased, the curse of this fallen world was overcome by our Lord Jesus. And so he was an overcomer by taking on the world. And no one ever died in the presence of the living Lord Jesus. He raised from the dead, and when he was on the cross, he died first before others could die, because death he conquered and was Lord over all even then. And the Lord Jesus conquered the world by surrendering to death on the cross. You know what happened that night in the garden when the officers of the Sanhedrin appeared as a mob to arrest him. Peter would take a sword and defend the Lord, but Jesus said, "No, put up thy sword." And even though when he spoke, his arresters fell back in a heap, even then he allowed himself to be arrested by those really who had no power to arrest him. And the wonder of the gospel plan in the heart of God is that he sent his Son to die, to be a willing lamb led to the slaughter. And in his arrest, in his trial, in his crucifixion, there was not a word that he would be freed from that death. Indeed, they mocked and shouted and said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." But Jesus suffered on and endured it all by himself. He could not save the world by saving himself. And so he voluntarily offered up himself as a substitute, as our Savior. Now let's go to John 12 and verse 24 and see the principle of the wheat, the corn of wheat falling into the ground. Jesus' words again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And just as the corn of wheat is sown in the earth and dies, our Lord Jesus conquered by giving his life. that out of his one death, a tremendous harvest of souls, all the elect, all who would ever believe on Jesus, would be purchased by the power of his blood. And of course, he must go to the cross because he was our substitute. He died in our place, vicariously. So that it's true to say for believers that when Jesus died on the cross, you died. Jesus took your place and suffered in your stead that he would save you from sin. And he must go to the cross because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And our Lord Jesus became a curse for us. Why? That we might know no curse. This is the saving work and saving power of Jesus, the Son of God. By becoming a curse for us, we know no curse. We are delivered and made righteous in the sight of God. And of course, when Jesus cried out on that cross, it is finished. His work of substitutionary suffering was done. And our Lord Jesus was at rest. Salvation was secured for all who trust in him. And that's the overcomer who died in our place. And that's how we may take the cup and bread today to remember, look into that cup and rejoice in the blood that was shed for us. Look at the bread and rejoice in the body that was broken for us. And we rest, we rejoice that our Savior was our substitute on that tree. He overcame for us. Now, if you are in John 12, I want you to go with me to verse 31, and you'll see another way by which Jesus conquered. He conquered the world by defeating the prince of this world. He says, John 12, 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And remember that Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Our Lord came as a conqueror to defeat every work of Satan. And he says, now, that means the hour has come. This is the appointed time when he must do battle against that enemy. And their judgment was upon Satan himself. And so at the cross, our Lord Jesus was in a battle against Satan. And on that cross, he was spoiling Satan, principality and powers. Another key verse on this is Colossians 2, verse 13. And I'm learning in preaching to give people time to look up the text, because it means an awful lot more, and it stays with you an awful lot longer when you read it in black and white in your own Bible. Colossians 2 and verse 13. "And you being dead in your sins and..." Oh, sorry, that's... yes, Colossians 2, 13. "And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Now, how did he do that? How did Jesus forgive all our trespasses? Well, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And so there was something laid on the body of Jesus that was nailed to the cross with our Lord Jesus. And that was your sin and mine. He was our sin bearer. He was our lamb, our substitute, taking our place. And as he was nailed to that cross, our sins were nailed with him, so that they are blotted out and they are forgiven in totality. And then in the next verse, 15, and having spoiled principalities. And the word spoiled means plundered. As a victor in a battle, when the enemy is defeated, he plunders the enemy's goods and riches. And the Lord Jesus on that cross, he took from the devil the souls of men that were held captive. And he spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing. And so our Lord Jesus is our overcomer upon that cross. And satanic forces that have invaded this world, these minions of Satan and hell, who have come into this world to bring the curse, to bring death, to bring sorrow, to bring destruction. Jesus met that force of darkness and he conquered them. And he takes souls out of their captivity.
To Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Let me teach you just how to come and plead the victory of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle stated, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. That was the only thing that he would allow himself to brag about. Everything else is an instrument of failure. Philosophies are powerless to conquer the world. Institutions of men only promote the fleshly sins of the world. Hollywood only inflames the passions of the world. Business and money only demonstrate the corruption of men of the world. The only instrument to slay sin with power, to save sinners, is the cross of Christ. Christianity began with the central truth of the cross, and nations were brought to the feet of Jesus through the message of redemption by the blood of Jesus. Sadly, there is an apostate form of Christianity that denies the power of the cross, for it has nothing of the cross in it. I hope you have learned today the victory that our Lord Jesus won at the cross of Calvary. I hope that you have discovered the key to gospel Christianity. It is the death, the sacrifice, the atoning blood of Jesus that grants the power of God unto salvation. There is no other way. So you must come to the cross for salvation. Get the eyes of your heart fixed on the suffering Savior dying on that cross for your sins. Don't make an image of the cross and turn it into an idol. Get the doctrine of the cross into your heart through saving faith in the Lord Jesus. Believe, pray believingly that Jesus died on that cross for you. Pray the sinner's prayer, confessing your guilt, your sin, your lost condition before a just and holy God who hates all sin with a holy hatred. Then plead the justifying, cleansing power of Jesus' blood. The cross is our bridge to God. It is the way of true reconciliation to find peace in your soul that you are saved and saved for heaven. You must have that, and there is no other message, no other gospel that I can preach to you but the cross of Christ. The gospel preacher begins at the cross and ends at the cross. Let me lead you to the cross of Christ today. Come, join with me in prayer. Father, we thank thee that there is power in the blood of Jesus. I pray today for souls to be saved, for your name to be drawn down where sinners' feet sit at the feet of the cross, pleading the saving, cleansing power of your precious blood. We ask your blessing upon your word to save sinners. Send the Holy Spirit to convict and convert and draw each one to faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. This we pray in his name. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.